Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're sharing some of our favorite songs about the night. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Cott. But first, let's review the new albums from The Handsome Family and Lydia Loveless.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
That is a little bit of The King of Everything by The Handsome Family from their new album, Hollow. It's been a heck of a ride for The Handsome Family since way back in 1994 when they released their debut album. You know, many people probably were introduced to them when they were delivering the theme song for the first season of True Detective. Since then, you know, they've been covered by an impressive roster of other artists, from Andrew Bird and Wilco to Phoebe Bridgers. Who is this duo? Brett and Rennie Sparks, Brett being the voice and primary musician, Rennie being a brilliant wordsmith, husband and wife team, first came to attention in Chicago, have long since been living in New Mexico. Been a while since we heard their last album, 2016. Been the two of them at home in their living room making these fascinating American Gothic records. When I say American Gothic, I mean it literally. Think of the famous painting of the farmer and his wife with the pitchfork.
Oh,
That's Brett and Rennie.
I think Brett actually called it Western Gothic at one point.
Western Gothic.
It fits, you know.
Yeah, it's American Gothic repainted by David Lynch or John Waters. So let's play a track from Hollow, and we'll come back and give our reviews. This is a song called Skunks by the Handsome Family.
Squirrels in the basement, raccoons in the walls, centipedes with stingers do not feed to dogs. Guaranteed humane. Yes, we have live days.
That's Skunks from the Handsome Family, a new record. It's always a great day when you can get a new Handsome Family record. They are not only musically gifted, but I think if they ever strung together their between songs dialogue during their shows or in their interviews, you would have a great comedy album. They're a tremendously entertaining duo from that standpoint. The dark humor is there, but also an empathy that transcends the world we live in. And I think in Rennie's lyrics, you definitely get the sense of, you know, we can't fully explain this world that we're living in.
No,
makes no sense. We think we can control our destinies, but we can't, you know.
Yep.
We're at the mercy of nature. And, you know, I'm just looking at the songs that, you know, on this record definitely address that topic in a otherworldly sense. At the same time, you've got this singer, Brett, who's got this sonorous voice, you know.
What a baritone.
And then the musical sophistication of the record belies the fact that it was made in their living room, you know.
Yeah.
It sounds absolutely wonderful from that standpoint. You look at the vision of paranoia in a song like Joseph. Come into the circle, Joseph.
Yeah.
There's no moon tonight. The natural world, we think we're in control, we're not. That song, Mothballs, you know?
Yeah.
A world where your coat's going to be eaten by moths and you'll be eaten by bears.
Let the moths eat your beautiful coat.
We have a fondness for these people, and it's not just because we rub shoulders with them at many shows for 3 decades. There's something lovable about the Hanson family, and they've had difficult times, you know, with mental problems and poverty, the poverty of all indie musicians, all of which they've chronicled with unsparing honesty. Apparently that song that you love, Joseph, Brett woke up one night and Rennie was screaming those lines, having woken up from a nightmare.
Like a seance or something.
And so Brett wants to make sure, number one, that she's okay, and number two, that he writes them down, because that's a Hanson family
song. That's a song.
You know, that in a nutshell is this band. If I've got one complaint about this album, and I got to say, I love it to pieces, it's this minor griping. Often on stage, Rennie's voice is a little stronger. I think she's kind of buried in the mix here.
Yeah, there's a few times where her harmonies come in, and I go, this is wonderful. I'd like to hear
more
of that.
More Rennie, please.
And I think she's a little self-effacing when it comes to presenting the music. She kind of lets Brett run that. And, I got to say, the album, that song Strawberry Moon, we're talking about their darkness, that's just a beautiful ballad. And
well,
then the last song, Good Night.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
What a way to close the album. The crossroads are empty. Satan snores in his bunk. We'll be out by the merch table after we pack our junk.
It's time to say goodnight. Goodnight.
You know, I mean, it brings it back down to the reality of being a touring band, you know, and, you know, we're just kind of trying to make every day last.
Touring,
you know?
In the station wagon.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, three of them.
At the lowest possible level of, you know, touring.
Well, I think my life would be poorer to some degree, Greg, not to over-exaggerate, without the Hanson family. I hope they're not thinking of retiring.
I would hate that. Well, we had to wait, 7, 8 years for this record?
Yeah, we had to wait a while,
But we'll wait for the next one, too.
I don't care how I get there, I just wanna be somebody. All I think about is sex and money. I don't care how I get there, I just wanna be somebody.
That is a song called Sex and Money from the new Lydia Loveless record. It is called Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again.
Not again.
And so Lydia Loveless has made it clear that they now identify as gender fluid, and the pronoun for Lydia is they. Grew up in rural Ohio, playing in a band with their older sisters while a teen. Solo debut in 2010, recorded when Lydia was 15 years old. They ended up making a series of acclaimed albums with Bloodshot Records in Chicago, the Insurgent Country label. Now Lydia is back with Bloodshot under new ownership. A lot of personal travail in that period of time documented on that album, Daughter, and more personal travail since that we're going to be discussing here in a second.
Broke up with their longtime partner,
right.
Admitted a substance abuse, probably alcoholism.
Exactly. After returning, and originally was out in North Carolina at the start of the pandemic, returned to home base in Columbus, Ohio, and found time part-time work at a recording studio.
Yeah.
Just to make ends meet. You know, talk about that, we were talking about the Hanson family. It's not an easy life when you're out there on your own as an indie musician. Now we have a new album. Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again is the record. Let's play a track from it before we review it. It's called Toothache from Lydia Loveless on Sound Opinions.
'Cause it's always something right when you're gonna.
Toothache from Lydia Loveless, the new album, Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again. Greg, like the Handsome Family, we have been fans of this incredible artist for some time. They performed and were interviewed on the show back in 2012, episode 348. That mix of tough, ferocious candidness and razor-sharp wit and vulnerability, and that voice. Man, what an instrument. Tough times, as we said, trying to get sober. I want to, highlight that and the way that Lydia talks about it. I'm getting older, and my jets are starting to cool. If I ever get sober, it's really over for you fools. And indeed, it is over for us fools, because this is a barn burner of an album. When Lydia is talking about a new relationship, poor boy, with this sort of call and response between being drawn to it and being repelled, I don't want to get in his head. Don't want to blank with his head, right? They are the first to admit they're a handful, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's that honor delivered with the humor that really wins people over. I don't like to run. I just like to run away. Or, the confession in Sex and Money, which is what a single. That's why we bumped in with it. I know I'm not saving the world, but I got to live in it. So I might as well splurge on 200 cotton t-shirts with my face on the front. Mm-hmm. Again, a look at that touring America in a van and giving your all on stage, and when you're spent, going to the merch table because people want to say hello, and you're going to make more money on the t-shirt than you ever will streaming this brilliant music. Man, what a record. It's a little, musically, the growth is a little more polished. I think there's a little more of that Laurel Canyon sort of Fleetwood Mac. Polish, but you're saying Lydia Loveless is polished. It's like they are, at their core, a punk rocker, and that will always be there.
Well, I think, Lydia got typecast as a country punk artist early on.
And yeah.
And they could have continued in that vein and probably done pretty well mining that area. But the last couple of records, Daughter, especially, it's a singer. We're talking about a singer-songwriter here who can't be pigeonholed by genre, and you see that continuing on this record. So I love the fact that Lydia has developed such a wide range as a songwriter, as a melodist, in terms of the kind of content she's bringing in terms of lyrics. You get everything from pop rock to straight up ballads to a little bit of a country influence, but it's not dominating the proceedings at all. This is, I hate to use this term, concept album, but it kind of is. It's the arc of a relationship, the breakup of one relationship, and possibly the hint of a little light at the end of the tunnel at the end. The way this record builds to that song, French Restaurant, and the way Lydia sings those last few lines, a little goddamn honesty, Lydia is really letting it all hang out on that song, and you go, this is a cathartic moment in Lydia's life, in this album, and then it comes to Summer Long, where you finally get the sense of, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this.
Well, all of that plus pandemic stir craziness, because it was all crafted, like Daughter, during lockdown.
And you can feel it. You can feel there was a tremendous amount of stress in Lydia Lovelace's life and documented it amazingly on this record.
Well, that is what we think of Lydia Lovelace's latest and the latest by the Handsome Family. Now, as always, we want to hear from you. What did you make of these two new albums? When we return, we'll share our favorite songs about the nighttime and hear from our production staff. That's coming up on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. Alex, the keeper of the list show itinerary from time to time on Sound Opinions, noticed how much fun we had doing songs about the morning, which I was inspired to say, why don't we do that based on, like, having to get up and get dressed and go to school. Mm-hmm. I knew other people were feeling the same way. And I was like, well, now why don't we balance it with the generally more joyful topic of songs about the nighttime? And wow, there's no shortage in the history of pop music about songs about night. We're going to offer them and we're going to go to our production staff. But Mr. Cott, you are up first.
I am, Jim. And the first song, a composition that came to mind when we discussed doing this topic was an instrumental, a song with no lyrics, but one that evokes the night. That is called Midnight in a Perfect World, DJ Shadow, on the one of the best albums of the 90s, Introducing, completely based on samples, very obscure for the most part, groundbreaking record. I asked him about the album in general, but this track specifically, and he said a lot of his ideas about composing were based on movie soundtracks. Mm. He loved the feel of how they could evoke a mood without uttering a single word, not a lyric spoken. And then again, and in basing a record around samples, you know, this guy's the cover of the album is Josh Davis, as his real world name is. Going through a rack of records, looking for that one, 3 or 4 second bit of that record that he can pull out.
Master crate digger.
Weave into a composition like this one. You know, and he talked about the idea on this track of just strolling through the night and letting your mind wander.
Mm-hmm.
And, he landed on this record by David Axelrod and the song The Human Abstract, this mournful piano sample. And that Axelrod record actually became sort of a touchstone for a lot of hip-hop producers later on as a result of DJ Shadow.
To be clear, that's the jazz musician, not the former advisor to Barack Obama.
Correct,
and your colleague
correct.
At the Chicago Tribune for many years.
Exactly. And he mixed the Axelrod sample with a beat he'd created on his MPC, using a slowed-down break from a track by Rotary Connection. Chicago's Finest from the late 60s.
Great soul funk band.
And then a little bit of a female voice. You can hear a little bit of a female voice. And that is from a record he told me he bought for 50 cents in a cutout bin. A 1976 album, Love is as Open as Your Heart, by this band Baraka. Whoever heard of them?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But he did. He immortalized them with the use of that little bit of a vocal sample in this track. So here's Midnight in a Perfect World from DJ Shadow and Sound Opinions. That track, and we're in the mood now. We're in the nighttime mood right now. Jim,
Perfect World. It's midnight. I've gotten a gander at some of your picks, and I know what the producers are eager to talk about. But I'm sorry, we're gonna play a lot of great music in this show about the nighttime. It ain't gonna get any better than Ray Charles's "Nighttime Is the Right Time." I mean, it's just one of the greatest songs of all time.
Oh yeah.
Period. You know, as with many great blues, gospel, funk, soul songs, tortured history or twisted history, many versions of the evolution of this song probably starts with Big Bill Brunsey, "Nighttime Is the Right Time," in 1938, although soon after Roosevelt Sykes records "Nighttime Is the Right Time" number 2. Nappy Brown popularizes a song called simply "The Right Time" in 1957. But Ray Charles gets to it, and he puts his spin on it. And Ray, a genius, of course, but Ray has the secret weapon. You know what the secret weapon is? It's the Raylettes.
Well,
it's
yeah,
the Raylettes. I mean, this is one of the best call and response
yeah,
songs of yeah, all time. "Nighttime Is the Right Time," you know, ba-dooby-doo, to be with the one you love. And the Raylettes answer him at every turn, led by the great Margie Hendrix. Ray puts the snap in it and makes you feel like, yeah, there is no questioning, "Nighttime Is the Right Time." The great Ray Charles. I just want to blow off the rest of the show and play Ray Charles all day. "Nighttime Is the Right Time."
You can't go wrong. The guy's been involved in like 150 great songs, right?
Man.
And he's got one for every mood. You know, my next track is going to be from The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye. That first set of EPs that he put out, repackaged as the Trilogy compilation in 2012, you know, it seemed like it was all set after midnight. You know, my everybody's parents say at some point, you know, nothing good happens after midnight. You need to be home by that time. You know, you're 16. You go, nah, I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to make it, Ma. You know, Abel Tesfaye is in that mood, you know, where nothing's really good. I really see him in every one of these songs early on in his career as a cautionary tale. You know, yes, nothing good is going to happen. You're up after midnight and you're up all night long and bad things are going to happen. This is a song about a one night stand.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of his songs are about these kind of transactional relationships that go nowhere and end up making both parties, or at least him, the narrator, feel really bad afterward. Like, you know, why did I do that? I was high. I didn't know what I was doing. I was out of control, you know, and just moving on to the next you know, dead end affair. He's trying to justify the one and done by singing "I don't love her no more" and moving on to the next girl, but then those devastating lines, "Bring your love, baby, I could bring my shame." You know, it's the one night stand gone wrong, these bad things that happen because you're out too late, you know.
Yes,
better have turned in sooner, buddy.
You didn't know when to quit.
Exactly.
Is the thing, yeah.
Did not know when to quit is exactly right. It's called "Wicked Games" from The Weeknd, from his 2011 House of Balloons EP on Sound Opinions.
I left my girl back home. I don't love her no more, and she'll never know that.
Wicked Games, man. Wicked Games after midnight. Never a good thing by the Weeknd.
I'm going to throw one to you, Greg, an artist we love, at least singing the song, written by an artist you love, of whom I am much more skeptical, Patti Smith, Because the Night. You know, we forget. Patti Smith debuts with Horses in 1975. It's a critical, you know, the critics are giving it hosannas, you know, but it ain't selling, right? Radio Ethiopia with the free jazz coming in follows. It don't sell. It's time for Patti to get a hit, or that's going to be the end of a career that continues to this day, right? It's hard to remember when Patti Smith was not considered an icon. You know, in comes Jimmy Iovine to produce album number 3, Easter, in 1978. Iovine is old school record industry. It's all about the hit. Patti needs one. He's simultaneously working with Patti and Bruce Springsteen. Springsteen's making Darkness on the Edge of Town, and Springsteen records a version of Because the Night, apparently very sketchy, but Patti rewrites it, because of course she does. She's Patti Smith, right? Her part is Because the Night Belongs to Lovers, Because the Night Belongs to Lust. It Belongs to Us.
That's her.
Okay.
Her. Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad that's her, because the opening is just abysmal. Take me now, baby, here as I am. Hold me close. Try and understand. Desire is hunger, the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed. You know, to his credit, Springsteen apparently told Iovine, I've written too many love songs. I'm done with love songs, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why he gives this one away. All right. To me, it's all about the vocal performance. She could be singing Patti, Ancient Greek. Just the passion that comes across. And I'm glad she had her hit. I'm glad the career continued. Obviously, much great music. I like this song. I like this song so much despite the Springsteen connection, okay? Because the Night by Patti Smith. Thank you for schooling me. You know, it is. It's a tortured history, well, that tune, Patti Smith, Because the Night.
Well, and, you know, it worked out. I mean, I've heard Springsteen's version, too. It's different. He used to introduce it on shows with a long guitar intro, which is pretty cool. But Patti's, you know, she needed a hit. She got it. And, you know, good for her.
Well, speaking of hits, we're going to go to our junior producer, Sol Delgadillo, with the second mention in a decade on Sound Opinions of Harry Styles.
So I was at a weird toss-up between An Offering to the Night by Jesus Piece and this song, but ultimately I chose Late Night Talking by Harry Styles. Two wildly different choices, I know, but I chose this one that I know is a little easier on the ears. The Jesus Piece one is still really good, though, so I also recommend that one. But this song, Late Night Talking, is off of the newer album called Harry's House. And some of you may know it, some of you may not. It might be a little outplayed to some people, but if you really listen to the whole thing and not just the chorus that keeps repeating on TikTok, it's actually a really well-composed and really well-produced song. It's got some funk elements, some synths. You really can't help but groove to it, regardless of how you feel about him. Personally, love that dude. Have a little matching tattoo situation with him and with some friends. So here is Late Night Talking by Harry Styles.
We life. I can't get you off my mind.
That is Harry Styles' Late Night Talking from Soul Delgadillo. Thank you, Soul, for that pick. Now we've dispensed with our Harry Styles discussion for this decade.
We should be done until about 2035, I think.
Yeah. Not to disparage Soul's pick, but Harry, you know, he's...
Little Harry goes a long way.
Yeah. Next up, producer Andrew Gill with his choice. Andrew, what are you going to give us?
Hey, guys. The song that first popped in my mind when we started talking about doing songs about night was Night Shift by Lucy Dacus. It's a great breakup song, right? She's writing about a breakup with the person who played bass on her first album. And it's the first track on her second album. It's got, you know, lyrics that Greg has cited as a favorite. You know, the first time I tasted someone else's spit, I had a coughing fit. Which, that's a great line. But just the concept, the way it relates to nighttime, though, she's basically saying, you're working a 9-to-5, I'm going to work the night shift so that I just never have to see you ever again.
Well, you think, we were talking so much, Andrew, when we reviewed the Lydia Loveless and Handsome Family records about, you know, touring in that Econoline van or that station wagon, you know, to be in that part of the relationship where you don't want to be near anybody, but forced to make the 8-hour drive, you know, across from one city in the Midwest to another on tour in a van that gets small really fast. I mean, that's a miserable feeling.
But, you know, there's an extra textual element that makes this song so great, because one of those lyrics is that in 5 years, I hope these songs feel like cover songs, you know, for other lovers. You know, when that album came out, they did not make a music video for this song, but they did 5 years later. When Lucy's at a very different stage in her career, you know, right before the Boy Genius record comes out, and then they start kind of ruling the world, at least
superstardom
of it, you know. It was just kind of a master stroke. They've like slowed down the matrix of the music industry, and they are seeing things that we can't see right before, you know. It's
Lucy's a genius, just like her partners in Boy Genius. Let's hear it. Night Shift by Lucy Dacus.
You got a 9-to-5, so I'll take the night shift, and I'll never see you again. I can help it. In 5 years, I hope the songs feel like covers, dedicated to new lovers.
Night Shift by Lucy Dacus is a fine pick by Andrew Gill. When we come back, Greg and I have more songs about the night, so does Alex Claiborne. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our favorite songs about night. Now let's hear from our producer, Alex Claiborne. Alex, what have you got for us?
Hey, guys. The song I chose is Night Swimming by R.E.M., and I thought one of you guys were going to choose it, so when I saw that you didn't, I thought I better swoop in and take it over, but I love R.E.M. This song came off of their Automatic for the People album, which was actually released 31 years ago this week. You know, this particular track, Night Swimming, obviously vocals by Michael Stipe. You have Mike Mills, who's the bassist, on the piano, and then a string arrangement by John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin, and you've got a prominent oboe solo. So you've got all the all the pieces for a bop in place. And this song, I think, represents a side of the nighttime that we haven't touched on much in the show, which is sort of the melancholy side and a nostalgia. And basically, the song, it's perfect for this time of year because it's like, you know, the end of summer, getting into the fall, reflecting on, you know, being out late at night, kind of when you're younger and you don't have a lot of cares and whatnot, and just being at the water. You know, he's talking about the moon.
I don't think I've told this story. You know, I was out in Athens for Automatic for the People interviewing REM. Night Swimming is actually about Mills used to climb a water tower in Athens, Georgia, that had an exposed top, an old wooden water tower, and go skinny dipping. So he is floating on his back looking up at the moon in the water tower. I haven't told that story before, right? Dad, not that story again,
You've
right?
You've mentioned some stuff about the Monster era and other eras of REM, but I was looking it up and it seemed like there were a lot of conflicting stories about what it was actually about, which I think for a lot of songs, that's true. For this person in the band, it's about
but I
that.
Think that but came from, I think that came from Mills, you know, Mills and Barry, I think I was chatting with. All right, Alex, good choice. Night Swimming by REM.
Night Swimming deserves a quiet night. I'm not sure all these people understand. It's not like years ago. Fear of getting caught, the recklessness of water. They cannot see me.
All right, Max Hatlam, our Columbia College intern. Max, where are you going?
What's up, guys? Today I'm bringing Spirit of the Night by a group called Tesla Boy, and that's off their 2009 The Tesla Boy EP. That was their first release. This is a Russian synth pop band, technically a band, technically a band, but I think it is mostly a sole producer who's like the main composer and vocalist for the group. And his name is Anton Savidov. I'm not saying that right. Sorry, Anton, but I'm not huge into synth pop. I'm definitely not a big fan of the 80s homage stuff. I'm fine with leaving the 80s in the past, personally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I heard this back in 2009, and for some reason it really stuck with me. I was in a big doom metal phase at the time, and this song was like a bright light shining through the dark sludginess and droningness of the doom metal bands.
Well, I think there's a new one for both Greg and me, so we're eager to hear it, Max. Thank you.
Your can be a god. She's the spirit of the night.
Tesla Boy, Spirit of the Night. Good one. And I'm so glad it wasn't Tesla.
We were spared that.
Yeah.
That fate. I am going to go to Paul Simon next, Late in the Evening. You know, that was from his One Trick Pony record, which I think was considered as kind of a failure after a run of well-received, commercially successful records. You know, like One Trick Pony, this is a soundtrack for a movie that starred Paul Simon and was kind of a bum trip all the way around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But this song is great. I always loved this song. He still plays it in his shows. It's the one song, I think, on that record that really holds up well, primarily because of Steve Gadd,
yeah,
the drummer.
He's amazing.
He uses a pair of drumsticks in each hand to mm-hmm. sort of channel this Cuban Mozambique
yeah.
groove that he referenced. The song itself sort of reflects Simon's growing up in New York when he was surrounded by these sounds. New York City in the 50s and 60s, kind of this multicultural musical melting pot, right?
Yep.
Simon later channeled in a lot of his solo records, especially. You could hear those kind of different rhythms informing his music.
Well, I think
this is a great example of it.
The big sound of this song, I think, is pointing toward where he's going to go when he moves into his South African
phase. Oh, absolutely.
Phase.
It was definitely a prelude to that, you know, Rhythm of the Saints, those records.
Yep.
It is a nighttime song. He does talk about late in the evening and the joy he found in it in a particular moment. Paul Simon, Late in the Evening on Sound Opinions.
First thing I remember, I was lying in my bed. Couldn't have been no more than one or two. And I remember there was a radio coming from the room next door. And my mother laughed the way some ladies do. When it's late in the evening, and the music's seeping through.
That's Paul Simon, Late in the Evening. Jim, what do you got next for us?
Good call with that one, Greg. I'm going to the Police next. You know, Sting has become such a pretentious and vile presence in popular music that you forget how great those Police albums were, up to and including Ghost in the Machine. Because I bought the first album and then the second, Regatta de Blanc, when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them. You know, the songs were always fantastic. So, you know, late teens, maybe hitting 20, I was blown away by Bring On the Night. Both the possibilities of, you know, the night is coming on, I can do whatever I want, and maybe something fantastic is going to happen, you know, but also, man, I had a lousy day. I couldn't stand another hour of daylight. Bring on the night. You know, I love that. We did have Andy Summers on the show once. He's amazing. And everybody who was learning to play the drums circa 78, 79 had to be inspired by Stuart Copeland.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those two were great. Anyway, Bring on the Night.
With it for tomorrow. Just another day.
Isn't that a great song?
I'm with you on those early Police records. I mean, they hold up pretty well.
They're great records.
Just great playing. And Andy Summers deserves a lot of credit as just being a really innovative guitar player.
And a real gentleman. Yeah. Go back to that interview we did with him. He's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Another group I can take in small doses, but when they hit me hard, Bauhaus. Yeah, they could be a little over the top, you know?
Yeah, you got almost no goth in you.
Yeah. No, I'm not a goth guy in general, but I do like post-punk, and I thought they fit in nice. At least some of their singles did very well in that era. You know, this is a group that was... Talk about a theme of night. Bauhaus could be, like, that theme embodied in a band, right? I mean, it's like You can't imagine. They never saw daylight in their a day in their lives.
No,
it seemed
no.
like their entire existence was dusk to dawn, you know?
Yeah, no, like a vampire, they would wilt and melt to death in the sun.
Well, I went to Coachella one year when, you know, they had gotten a reunion, and Peter Murphy, the lead singer, was lowered onto the stage like a bat,
right?
You
upside
know, and
down.
I'm going, oh yeah. My God, I can't believe this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So Bela Lugosi's Dead, right? That was their most famous mm-hmm. single, and hence they played that song just then. But this song, Dark Entries, is really kind of an up-tempo, energetic track, very atypical of the band in terms of the tempo and the urgency in this particular song. It is a pretty dark song. It's about the travails of a male sex worker, you know, and the whole song is set in the night, when walking through this city's neon lights. So it's dark on multiple levels. Bauhaus, Dark Entries on Sound Opinions. Bauhaus from 1980, a single called Dark Entries, about as dark as night can get in that song.
I'd like to see you channel a little bit of Peter Murphy for your Halloween costume.
I don't have that deep enough baritone.
I was just thinking of putting on black eyeliner.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could do it. You know, I talked once about this song. It was all the way back in episode 532, the next one I'm going to play, when we were talking about anti-love songs. But given that it has one of the greatest drum fills of all time, and we were just talking about Steve Gadd, it's a drum-centric show, I'm going to go to Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. What a fantastic song. Phil, like Sting, has done some things, many things since that you would not laud him for. Let's put it that way. But that first solo album, when he steps aside from Genesis, which he's leading at that point, has taken over for Peter Gabriel, and they're getting poppier, and he's in a bad place. He's divorcing his wife, Andrea. He's in a dark hole. He's alone at home with a Sequential Circuits Prophet 5 synth and a primitive, at the time, because that's all there were, drum machine. He decides to begin finding catharsis through making some recordings. No intention of having a solo album, but it becomes his first solo album, Face Value, 1981. You know, the hip-hoppers love that drum sound mm-hmm. and that intro, right? Most of the song is building suspense over the really simple drum machine. And then when Phil's drums kick in, we forget what a fantastic drummer he really was, mm-hmm. Both in Genesis. And he had stumbled across this sound while recording with Gabriel on Gabriel's third solo album, a song called Intruder. So apparently on the old Solid State Logic mixing boards, there was a button called Reverse Talk Back. And its purpose was rather sinister. The band's in a big room, right? Maybe all together, maybe not, in separate little corners. And then the engineer, when he or she wants to talk to them, has to press the button and then take the finger off to hear. You know, you guys want to do another take of that? Yes or no, right? So Reverse Talk Back, they could press and leave on and hear what the band was saying about the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Or about anything. It's like you're snooping over the shoulder. So somehow the button got left on while he's recording with Gabriel, and the sound blew Collins away, blew everybody away. You, Padam, the producer, is blown away. And this essentially is the birth of what they call gated reverb, right? That really intense drum sound. And it's a fantastic sound. It steals the show on this song, but the show itself, there's something in the air tonight. You know, something's not right. There's a feeling here, and maybe it's pregnant with possibility, or maybe that's dread that I'm feeling, right? Because night has two sides, right? You know, Phil Collins, I said something nice about Phil.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. He was a hell of a drummer. Hell of a drummer.
The hurt doesn't show, but the pain's too gross. Some stranger to you and me.
right? That soul, that drum fill goes on forever. I just love it.
If that drum fill screams the 80s, well, if that drum fill screams 80s, this singer whispers Paris. Francois Paris Hardy at night. Yes, Francois Hardy. I love her as a vocalist. 50-year recording career, 30 LPs. Many people may regard her as just a wonderful voice, a nuanced singer. She was also a very good songwriter. Wrote a lot of the songs that she recorded, including the one that I'm going to play. Her third album, there's a whole bunch of self-titled Francois Hardy records, you know? And the third album was self-titled, too. She did this, she recorded this album when she was 20 years old in 1964. And there's a track on it that she wrote, which refers to the night. I'm going to butcher the French pronunciation. My apologies. La nuit sur la ville. That means night lies over the town. And when night arrives and it's very still, she's reminded of the lover who is not with her.
Mm.
Far away in another town, you who I love so much, what are you doing now? A song of yearning. And, you know, the nuance in the voice, I mean, she doesn't sound 20 years old. She sounds like the maturity and the nuance and the longing. It's very much an adult perspective on this song. And, you know, I just love the sound of it. Just the sound of that voice speaks, you know, night, lonely, you know, I'm missing you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Francois Hardy. I'm going to go with the English translation. Night lies over the town on Sound Opinions.
La nuit est sur la ville.
Francois Hardy, Night Lies Over the Town. Very, very good choice there, Mr. Cott. I'm going to wrap up with Kid Cudi, Day and Night.
Yeah.
You know, what a fantastic rapper. Scott Ramon Seguro Mascuti becomes a Kid Cudi when he moves from Cleveland, Ohio to New York City, launches his hip-hop career, catches the ear of one Kanye West, who signs him to Good Music. And it was this song that convinced Kanye to sign him, and, you know, just a great hip-hop voice and a fantastic lyricist. He apparently was inspired by two things, the Ghetto Boys' Mind Playing Tricks on Me when he was writing Day and Night, and also a contentious relationship he had with his uncle. His uncle put him up when he left home and started his career as a rapper, and then kicked him out at some point. And only after the uncle's death did he realize that he'd done him a tremendous favor, his uncle. But this is about those sleepless nights where you're stressing and tossing and turning and getting yourself more and more worked up until, you know, you finally admit defeat. And there's no sleep tonight. I might as well get up, right? I toss and turn. I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but I don't attain anything, right? This silly game we play, Kid Cudi is talking about. Yeah, we've all been in that doom loop in the middle of the night, which is, I guess, a downer place to end what has been a positive show. But I'll remind you, I started with Ray Charles and one of the greatest songs of all time. I do love Kid Cudi. Day and night.
Because day and night, the loneliest owner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Day and night. The loneliest owner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone, some things will never change. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night.
Day and Night by Kid Cudi.
Good track.
We could have gone with several dozen more. That wraps up our favorite songs about night, at least for now. And we want to hear from you. As always, leave us a voice message on soundopinions.org with your thoughts and a pick or two, and we'll share them on the show. Mr. Cott, what's on the show next week?
Well, Jim, you and I are both huge fans of this new album by Wednesday. We've reviewed it on the show. We really wanted to get Carly Hartzman on the show, the singer, the founder of that band, the lyricist. she has, in fact, joined us for an interview. Carly
Hartzman. Did not disappoint. That was a fantastic chat. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.
Just so you know what.